snouts into the Baron's trough.
There's some right in what you say, Carter. But you better watch your mouth, Inuma. Not always the Baron that calls the tune here.
I hear you. But it's simple. Sidler agreed we'd show him the play. Here, tonight. If he's ill, we can do it tomorrow. Not a problem.
Or the day after.
Sure.
He's got a bad cough. Gone to his chest this morning.
Ryan was aware of movement deeper inside the building, and he thought he could make out the cream jeans of Rena Miller, wondering if someone there had a bead drawn on him.
Heard his throat whooping and hollering when Big John and Ugly Lee start slugging it out.
Don't forget, the back door. Have it cleared away and opened, and have the alley tidied up. Need it to load in the things for the play, all right?
Do like the Outlander says. His lips move, but it's Wizard's voice you hear. That door was found to be blocked only this morning, Carter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now I'm interested that you aren't interested.
I couldn't give a flying buffalo far for what you're interested in.
You want to know what blocked off that door in the alley, Carter?
No, but I know you're going to tell me.
Sure am. It was a couple of stiffs. And after a night in the open, I surely mean that they were real stiff.
I'm not going to play your triple stoop games. Make sure the place is ready for when the Baron gets well again. And tell him I hope that's real soon. Don't forget, that's your responsibility, not mine.
Ryan walked away, raising his hand to brush away a salt tear that had leaked from behind his eye patch, the raw socket irritated by the chilly wind. Ryan didn't look back. The news of the postponement was greeted with mixed reactions. Capistrano seemed pleased.
Ooh, extra time to hone and polish our performances. Excellent.
I think we'd have been ready to go tonight, Diego. But I guess a little more time won't hurt. Long as we don't get too polished and jaded.
I think that is an unlikely scenario, my dear lady. Something as old and rough as myself can scarcely suffer from being too smoothly polished, I fear.
You always put yourself down, you old bear. There's many a fine tune comes from an old piano, isn't there, Doc?
Ryan was amused to see a slight blush suffuse Doc's grizzled face.
I suppose there is some evidence to support that hypothesis, my dear. The finest wines are the oldest.
Until they turn sour, Doc.
Puts us into the fifth day, Ryan.
Can't be helped, JB. Just have to hope that Baron Sidler gets himself better quickly. We got a safety margin, but we have to be away by the evening of the eighth day. Or it's all up for the others.
Rosie Owen brought in their breakfast the next morning on a battered wooden cart.
Here's some lovely leftover pork chops I got cheap from my sister, who does cooking down at the Buck and Doe Gaudy on Lecter Avenue. Fried them up with some turnip greens and okra. Did some eggs over easy on the top, but I don't think they was kind of, well, as fresh as I thought they was. Still, it's all food, isn't it? Goes in one end, and before you know, there's just a mess down the shitter.
A mess down the shitter. Looks like that already.
A large green and white platter stood in the center of the cart, and it looked like seven chunks of greasy and charred meat rested on the plate. A small mound of melted, soggy greens glowered in one corner, with what had to be the over-easy eggs heaped on top. The yolks resembled dulled golden bullets, while the whites were semi-liquid, dappled with burned grease, and speckled with fragments of broken shell. A crock of butter and half a loaf jostled each other in one corner, while a large blue enamel pot of coffee stood steaming gently in the opposite corner.
Mmm, coffee smells good.
And half a loaf is better than none.
Despite its disgusting appearance, the food didn't actually taste that bad. The scorched fat succeeded in overwhelming even the sour taint of the past-their-best eggs.
They had worse.
Remember that crazy old bastard in, what was it called? By that broken-down dam? Sunbake, that was it.
Sure. Used to boast that he had one ear, one tooth, one hand, one leg, and the biggest cock west of the Pecos. And he'd lay it on the table to show you if you didn't believe what he said.
That's awful. Was it?
I'd have to say that it was.
Went all the way mad. Served Trader a meal once that had everything kind of backward. Would have made Rosie here seem the finest cook in the damned world. Poured away the coffee and served cups of hot grounds. Fried up the rinds of the bacon and the shells of the eggs. Peel of oranges rammed in the glasses instead of the juice.
Threw out the contents and put empty cans on the table. Yeah, I have to say that was about the worst.
What did the traitor do? I bet he got mad.
Nah, traitor never got mad. He just got even.
So what did he do? He probably blew the guy apart with his gun.
Nah, just made him eat it all himself. Everything except the cans.
That taught him a real lesson, I bet.
It all depends on what you mean by learning a lesson, young man. Later that day, I believe that the poor wretch went to his barn and climbed into a bath of gasoline, then opened the veins in his wrist. Couldn't even get the details right of taking his own life. Was that the lesson you had in mind?
Michael didn't answer him.
Y'all finished with the food? That's good. I clear it all up and let you get on with practicing your play. Just don't make no mess in my good rooms.
And she was gone, the sound of the cart diminishing down the corridor. Ellie ran a finger along the sill of the window, holding it out, black with sticky dust.
Yeah, right. Just don't make no mess in my good rooms.
Less than 5 minutes later, the landlady was back.
Thought you'd like to know this.
What is it? You must not burst in on us like that without even a minimal courtesy of knocking and waiting. What is it?
Thought you'd like to know.
You already said that. Please tell us what it is you think we'd like to know. Then we can decide whether we'd like to hear it or not, as the case may be.
Ah, that's better. Now, do you want me to tell you this or not?
Yes, for pity's sake, tell us this news, sweet madam. Or should I prostrate myself and press my lips to the toe of your shoe?
If you want to, mister. I had a customer once wanted me to drink a half gallon of beer, and then when I was bursting, sit on
it. You got 10 seconds to tell us, then get out.
Sick man said that Baron Sadler's still real sick, coughing blood.
Fine. It's good that you told us. Now you can go.
Right. I'll do that.
Close the door quietly.
Yeah.
They waited until they heard her down-at-heel men's boots clumping toward the stairs.
Puts us through to the sixth day, Ryan.
I think that it's well past time that you told us a little of this strange mission you four have here in Yuma, and why the passing of the days is so significant. I'm waiting.
You stay alive in Deathlands by trusting no one, but there were times that you had to take others into your confidence. Times you needed someone to watch your back. Times you actually needed help. Times that you could no longer stand alone. Ryan trusted Christy and JB, and Doc, when his mind wasn't off wandering down Victorian byways. He'd come to trust Mildred and his young son. Michael Brother was still very much on probation, but he was getting there. Now there was the question of whether to tell the truth to Capistrano, Ellie, and Knuckles. Ryan came at it from another direction. Could they afford not to tell them? After he'd finished talking, there was a long stillness in the stuffy bedroom. Ellie looked across at Capistrano, but neither of them spoke.
Is it all right if I say something?
Sure, go ahead. We're all in this together. What happens to one of us will happen to all of us.
Well, these killers. Are you sure they done what you say they done?
Far as I know. There's no such thing as flat-out truth, Knuckles. We all see things in a different way. See different truths. But I think they did. Yeah, I believe it.
Would you do this if you didn't believe it?
It was a surprisingly shrewd question. Ryan hesitated for several heartbeats. Would he be responsible for the deaths of others, to try to save the lives of those he loved?
Yeah, but I'd feel bad about it, Knuckles. That's an honest answer.
Is it vital that we are involved in your kidnapping?
No.
Then why?
Haven't finished.
I beg your pardon?
No, you don't have to be involved. But if we get away from here with Sadler or the others, then you either come with us, or you stay here and you get burned. Just because of knowing us. Sorry, but that's the way it is.
I see that. I see that you could have done what you had to, and then fled and left us to face the displeasure and wrath of the audience. Yes, we will do what we can. And afterward, we shall make our excuses and depart with you.
Baron Wizard Sadler was no better the next day, still suffering from a hacking cough and a raging fever, unable to eat or drink. Time was moving faster and faster. Dr. Theophilus Tanner was exhausted. He had a terrible headache, and the constant supply of appalling food from Rosie Owen's kitchen meant he was suffering a permanent burning feeling of nauseous indigestion. The original idea of appearing in a theatrical entertainment had seemed whimsical and droll. Now, it simply terrified him.